أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, according to his hikmah, his wisdom, made this decision that Adam alayhi salam and Bani Adam, his children, the children of Adam, all were to live on the earth, planet earth, and they were to be taken onto the earth. This was Allah's decision that was made. And all of this, the preparation for this from the beginning, this was preparing for the world. And the crown of Khilafah that was given to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, this wasn't the representation in the heavens, the Khilafah in the heavens. This was the crown for the Khilafah on earth. And Shaitan thought that he was the rightful owner of this crown, and that's why he became the enemy of mankind. He had full estimation, Allah's making this world, the earth, I'm the most senior amongst the angels, I'll be the Khalifa, all the good things are in me. And he harbored that desire to be the leader. But Allah said, I know what nobody else knows. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the earth, the world, and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and his children were to live here. Allah completely prepared and designed that this earth that the migration was to take place to, from one place to another place when a person goes, he knows that when I'll be received, I'll be welcomed, preparation, there'll be food, and there'll be all the things I need when a person goes from one place to another. But this dunya, Allah Ta'ala physically made very beautiful. And beautiful that Adam alayhi salam, he had already seen paradise. So that was a different concept, couldn't even compare to the world. So the dunya for him was like dust, soil. Although for the children of Adam, it's like Jannah. You see the mountains, and if you just look out of the windows, the Pennines, the hilltops, and the mountain range, and if it rains and there's snow on top of the peaks, you go to a beautiful place where there are fountains and valleys and lakes. Beauty is spread out across the world. If you go to the desert, the beauty of the desert you will see. If you go to the jungles and forests, you'll see different beauty. So if you go towards the rivers and the streams, and you see different beauties, if you stand on the banks of this, on the coast of the sea, beautiful power of Allah, and in the evening when the sun is setting on the coastline, that's a beautiful scene. Or the moon on the 14th night, if a person sees that and he is on the coast where the sea is, so beauty. Obviously we haven't seen Jannah, paradise. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam had seen paradise and he knew everything. And here Allah Ta'ala prepared for Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and his children. And this was a unique preparation for the children of Adam alayhi salam, Bani Adam. The enemy was sent in advance, Shaitan, the snake, the jinnat. They were here from before on earth. Now Allah Ta'ala created this world for us where we were to go and live. What was here? Allahu Akbar. Shaitan and all the power that he was given was already here before mankind arrived. Is there any greater power that he had than what he has, that he can run in the veins of the human being? This is the power and ability Allah has given to Shaitan. So this is one big enemy. He is enough for mankind. On top of that, for his assistance, Allah Ta'ala created the nafs, the base desires. The Shaitan, if he sort of falls back, then nafs will take over. If nafs falls a bit back, then Shaitan will take over. Two powers, nafs has come, Shaitan has come. After that, dunya. The dunya itself is full of darkness or wrong things, evil things, and the new innovations, immodesty, rudeness. Yani, there's no sin under the sun that you won't find on planet Earth. There's no sin under the sun. You won't find on every footstep there are things, attractions to make you forget Allah. Allah's filled the world with these attractions. And a man thinks, oh, I'm coming to this world. What can I do? Tell me. Shaitan, alongside shaitan nafs, and on top of nafs dunya in which we have to live, the world, its attractions and comforts and glow. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings with natural traits that no other creation had. Yes, the angels made of noor, and they're enlightened, and they have one function, one objective. Insan, human being, Allah Ta'ala created. Allah created the power of shar and khair within the human being. That's also the opposite. So this is also on top of shaitan and nafs and the world. The shar is also present within the attractions of the world, shaitan, base desires, nafs, and also the inherent shar, evil, that is within the inclination towards bad, which also pulls the human being. All in the world, all the things, you know, you have magnet, north pole, south pole, north and south magnets, opposites attract. So whatever dirty and pure things are there in the world, as shut inside us, will pull us towards that. So how can the human being be saved? How can we be saved from shaitan? How can we be saved from nafs? How can we be saved from the comforts and the attractions of the world? How? On top of that, shar, the evil, and then there's khair as well, there's good as well. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to test the human being. So all the testing ground laid out, the more severe the test and the examination, the greater Allah Ta'ala gives a maqam to a person. This is the lesson we need to learn today. Yes, this life is full of tests. This is temporary. All temporary. On every blink of an eyelid, the time passes. The pious treatises have stated that good time, if the good time doesn't last long, the bad time won't last long either. Don't worry, be steadfast. Whatever events you experience in life, the challenges, they're all from Allah. And this is temporary, it's just a temporary test. It's not in Jannah, we're here for a short time. That's why these tests are happening with me. Have determination, drive through the life phases, face the issues and the negatives that come your way, the barriers, the hurdles. And Allah Ta'ala has given us a test like this, examination like this. So how do we get saved from these attractions that are negative? How do we save ourselves? And the hukum, on top of this, Allah says, if you are not successful when you come to me, what's success? Allah says, in this world you have to live, you have to oppose the nafs, you have to oppose shaitan. If the world pulls on you the attractions, and within you the shar, the evil inclinations, if they force you to do bad, you must overcome all these and not disobey Allah. If you disobey Allah, then remember this, Allah says, then I've prepared Jahannam for you direct, you will be thrown into the ditch of hell. So this is the story of our life, my brothers, and that's it. We have come to this world and this is what's facing us. We come here big-headed, running around, doing what we want. This is an open playing field. Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, up to Nas. This is the message. Remember, this is the message of the Quran. This is our job occupation. No one should complain. Oh, it's too hard, difficult. No, no. Allah says, I've made the world like this. That's it. You've been thrown here, sent here. Remember this. Shar and khair, opposites. Now here is a point we need to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created shar and khair and gave us the freedom of will, ability, energy, power. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah has given us the strength that everything you'll have in front of you, shar, shaitan, nafs, attractions of the dunya, the glamour of the dunya, okay? What do you need to do, human being, is that you need to steer through these. Shar and khair, this is your test. Do you go towards shar, evil, bad, or khair, good? Allahu Akbar. That Allah says, I want to help you in this regard. It's for you to embark on this journey. There's shar and khair within you. Your objective is to save yourself from shar and go to khair, or do you drop khair and go to shar? And on top of that, all of the phases of life and the places that you have to pass through, you have to live here, spend the time, the tests, the trials. In every trial, in every scene of life, there's shar and there's khair. In every event of your life, there's shar and there's khair. And you have total power. Do you want to be saved? You can save yourself. And if you want to fall in the trap, you can fall in the trap. It's your choice. Every segment of life, every segment in the day, in the months, in the years in your life, you have the choice All of the actions of the world we have to do, eating, drinking, home, outside, working, wife, children, domestics, social interaction, any event of life, any segment of life, any action of life, there are two things that will face you. Two choices. Khair or shar. Your business, is there shar in this? Is there khair in this? I'm buying a car. Is this shar or khair? I want to buy a house. Is this shar or khair? I'm getting married. Is there, there's khair in the wife and there's shar in the wife possibly? There's good in the husband, bad in the husband. Sit down to eat, there's good, there's bad. This is barakah. Sit down to drink water, there's shar and khair in everything. Every action of life is based on two things, two factors. Whoever wants khair, he will take the khair. Whoever wants shar, evil, will take the evil. Both things, you have the ability to choose and adopt. So listen to this point in passing. That, you know, when they said that I'm forced to do bad, it's written in my destiny, in my fortune, I can't change it, it was written before, Allah made him a wali, and he's become like this, he's a wali from birth, he's pious from birth, how can I do this, it's not possible. No, every human being has a freedom, a choice. Apart from the separate jama'ah of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets, they're unique jama'ah people. Allah Ta'ala has for every human being given them this strength, whether he's a ghawth, kutub, abdal, wali. Every human being, doesn't matter what status he's on, he has shar and khair facing him. So how do they become walis of Allah? How does a person become a wali Allah? How does he become awliya? Those people who complain, no, he became wali Allah easily, he's pious, Allah chose him, selected him, look at me, it's too hard for me, I can't control myself, Allah made him this from birth, Allah gave him kashf and miracles and rank and status, why didn't Allah give to me? With regards to this, even for that person, the shar and khair, you're human, he's human, everyone's in the same sort of differences, that you are like still an animal and a monkey, and he's attained the heights of wilayat. The difference is this, that he understood the differentiation of shar and khair. He took khair, and he fought continuously with the shar. And you complain, if you do the same, you'll become a wali Allah. Which wali of Allah is there in the world in history? Tell me. No wali Allah who has passed in history apart from the Anbiya alayhim salam, the prophets who were innocent. There's no other man in the history of mankind who has not fought off shar and chosen khair. If a person is a wali Allah, if he takes shar, he'll drop down. This life world is a place of hard work. Whoever works hard, he succeeds dunya and akhirah. If you don't have desire to work hard, then so be it. Allah has given you choice. Where there's fitan, shar, leave it. Fight with shaitan. Fight with nafs. Allah will give you high ranks. Allah will give you high status. Apart from those few people who Allah Ta'ala selected, the Anbiya alayhimus salam. And Allah's decisions are full of hikmah. We shouldn't contest. Some people have wanted special work to be done. This is based on his hikmah. That when Allah Ta'ala from... He wants to give a daraja, status to someone. And Allah Ta'ala also passes that person in through the difficulties of the world. But, for example, something else occurs through that person. That if an individual, if he is passed through difficulty, illness, distress, worry, anxiety, extreme sadness, Allah Ta'ala makes a person busy in that. And when he's running towards shar and evil and sins, but Allah wants to correct him, then Allah's hikmah and wisdom is different, where he saves that person. This is not common. Not common. This is not a common law. Very seldom. Allah's hikmah is hidden. We cannot understand this. It's common is what I've told you. So if someone's got difficulty, extreme challenges, problems, worries, Allah Ta'ala throws him into that. Otherwise, then he runs back from his sinful life. So Allah Ta'ala saves him. Now, if somebody has difficulties and issues and he then does tawbah, repents and runs back to Allah, does a U-turn and repents and turns around and his life changes, then consider, alhamdulillah, that through that illness, through that severity, Allah selected him and he has succeeded in turning to Allah. Even here, in extreme distress and sadness and problems, people reject Allah. But there are some people who attain walaya through problems of life. There are thousands of examples in the world, in homes, wife, children, household problems, arguments, husband and wife fighting, quarreling. If a person gets to a stage and considers, this is a test Allah has given to me, I need to do a U-turn and reject the evil, then accept Allah Ta'ala's decision, then Allah Ta'ala elevates that person's rank. Elevates the person's rank. That's one tariqah, one method. Allah Ta'ala adopts. So a person's given freedom by Allah. Total freedom with regards to shar and khair. Do what you want, Allah says. It's your choice. It's your choice. Now, the situation with a human being is that having all of the negative surrounding us and shaitan's enjoying himself, he's succeeding in his mission. Allah's given him full power, permission. He requested, I'll come from in front, from behind, from the right, from the left. I'll come from in front, from behind, all four corners. I'll go inside, through the veins. I will use all methods and tools at my disposal. So how can we be safe from shaitan then? If there's so much negative around us, subhanAllah. On here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually, Allah ta'ala made human being his deputy. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was given the crown of Khilafah. Fitan negatives were presented and adorned in the world. Allah ta'ala turns back to the human being. Allah says that also, insan, I will give you justice. I'll give you assistance. I'll give you help. Take from me a gift, for your share has also come. Allah ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam such a gift, such a ni'mah, that we heard that a person, he has all forces against him. He'll sit down with his head in his hands, give up, say, oh, I can't succeed, close my eyes and prepare for Jannah. And Allah ta'ala said, Adam alayhi salam, Allah gave the final touch to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Subhanallah. The final touch, the gift. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam got that benefit from Allah. What did Allah give? How Allah ta'ala gave a gift and reward and such love in this gift, and also to Bani Adam, to Adam alayhi salam, and to all his children. Why not? The children of Adam alayhi salam, that Allah ta'ala through the children of Adam alayhi salam wanted to spread the passion and the love and the beautiful path of his Habib sallallahu alayhi salam. Allah said, I will create my Habib from within the children of Adam alayhi salam. Subhanallah. In other words, that the Prophet ﷺ being revealed and shown to the world, Allah Ta'ala said that the means to showing my love, Allah Ta'ala gave through the example of the human being, Nabi Al-Kareem ﷺ. So why shouldn't we have love for Habib Allah? That how much love Allah Ta'ala must have with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So do you think Allah Ta'ala gave nothing to human beings to whom the Prophet ﷺ was to come? Allah gave such a gift, such a reward, that all of the negatives, the preparation of shaitan, the fitan, the shar, such haqq Allah gave to the human being, such a massive haqq and truth that cancel everything. Haqq tawbah, the truth of tawbah, the truth of repentance. Such a gift, a ni'mah Allah ta'ala gave to mankind, that this cancelled all of the negatives on the shaitan's planning was buried, nafs planning was buried, all of the shar and fitan in the world, everything spoiled, the shar present within the human being cancelled and annulled. Allah gave such a gift. What was that? Haqqe tawbah, the truth of repentance Allah ta'ala bestowed to the human being. The ability to do tawbah. Allahu Akbar. So what is tawbah? Repentance. Allah ta'ala said that Adam, take your children to the earth. I will give you such a resource and assistance. Allah ta'ala bestowed that to us. That just do one thing now. Just do one thing, one action. That if you commit a sin, and you will, this is natural, human beings, this is hadith and mubarak of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that can it ever be that a man walks on water and his feet don't get wet? The Sahaba Kiram said, O Prophet ﷺ, this is impossible. The Nabi says, how can it be that you go into this impure, dirty world with all the negative attractions, then will the impurity of sin not come onto you? Allah Ta'ala prepared such a beautiful solution for us to delete all of the negatives. And he says, okay, you will disobey. Okay, you'll do shirk, zina, adultery, steal, crime, disobedience, all of the deficiencies in the world, sins, you'll embrace them and you fall into the trap and you continue to sin. But such a haqq and truth I'll give to you if you utilize it, subhanallah, subhanallah. What is that? Tawbah, repentance. That if you go through all of these negative conditions, even before you see the angels of death, if you repent before that and you ask me for forgiveness, Allah says, I'll wipe away all your sins and I will make you my friend. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. My brothers, what a great strength. Shaytan, nafs, and sharur, and fitan, fasad, disorder, all work hard on us. All life long they work hard so that we're thrown into hell, throw him to hell, and in the final moments the insan says, Allah forgive me. Allah says, fine, I was waiting for you. Before death you spoke to me, communicated to me. I was waiting for you. There was just 5 minutes left to you to die, the angels of death to come to you. You said this, that's it. Allah says, all of the sins you committed, Allah says, I wipe away, I've wiped it away. and your sins have been forgiven. Subhanallah. This is Haqqi Tawbah, the truth of repentance that's been given to the human being. Such a great tool and resource and weapon Allah has given to the human being. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was sent with this truth to the world. Allah says, فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared Adam alayhi salam, prepared the world, and then Allah ta'ala sent ilham. Then Adam alayhi salam received from his Lord's ilham. Words of prayer. Allah said, don't worry Adam, I'll tell you a few kalimat. Kalimat, verses, be ready to receive them. This is what we have. Such a great power, my brothers. Such a great wealth Allah has given to us. When we are scared of it, we run away from it. Shaitan also has trapped us here, tricked us. Shaitan, wretched shaitan, has also tricked us here. Remember, here he makes us afraid. Don't do tawbah. Don't repent. Don't repent, you'll get stuck. How will you practice? Don't do tawbah, you'll get stuck. Can there be a bigger deception than that of shaitan that he's given to us? Don't repent, he says. Don't come back to the deen. Don't turn around. He makes us scared of tawbah. Scared. We're so scared of tawbah. Such a great tool, reward and resource of tawbah Allah has given to us. Allah says, whatever you've done, but don't fear. If you do tawbah, repent to me. Allah says, repent to me. And then, once, Allah says, however many times you sin, the Prophet ﷺ stated this matter, how many times you sin and do tawbah, you'll get tired of doing tawbah, but Allah will never tire of forgiving you. On every tawbah, Allah will elevate your rank in paradise. Subhanallah. Yes, so you've gone outside and your eyes stray, you look at the wrong thing, you do zina. Yes, shaitan's happy. Oh, I've made him go into Jahannam today. You do zina of the eyes. You stand there, say, Allah made a mistake, forgive me. And a slap on the face of shaitan suddenly. Slap on the face of shaitan. There's no precondition for tawbah. No precondition. But it's so surprising today that today shaitan has crushed this path for us, made it a dead end for us, and made us think that we can't do tawbah. Why? He makes us scared of tawbah, afraid of tawbah, fearful. How he's chained us, wrapped us in the chains and imprisoned us. He doesn't let a human being go close to tawbah. And tawbah is our greatest, you can say, tool, resource. Apart from this, we have nothing at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Adam alayhi salam said, فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam gave him the kalimat, revealed, taught. In other words, this tawbah that Allah ta'ala has taught us, Allah says this is the method of tawbah. Allah ta'ala is explaining them. So what were the kalimat? In the Quran, Allah has revealed these kalimat. Servant to his Rabb, Lord. This is the tariqah of tawbah. First and foremost, here's what? In this kalima, Rabbana Valamna. O my Lord. This is the tawbah that Allah is teaching. This is tawbah. Listen carefully how tawbah is done. Rabbana. Rabbana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, Allah has taught us how to quote him. Allah has not mentioned any quality. Look how many Allah ta'ala's qualities, Allah Ta'ala's attributes, his names, and Asma'ul Husna. But here, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned his quality, just one. There are so many names of Allah, Asma'ul Husna. But Allah Ta'ala here mentioned his attribute, was just one. His one name, Allah mentioned here. Allah didn't say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah didn't say Malik. Allah didn't say Quddus. He didn't say Salam, he didn't say Mu'min, he didn't say Muhaymin, he didn't say Aziz, he didn't say Jabbar, he didn't say Mutakabbir, he didn't say Khaliq, he didn't say Bari, he didn't say Musawwir, he didn't say Ghaffar, he didn't say Qahar, he didn't say Tawwab, he didn't say Wahhab, he didn't say Khaliq, he didn't say Raziq, he didn't say Fattah, he didn't say Alimun, he didn't say Halimun, he didn't say Azim, he didn't say Wasi, he didn't say Hakim, he didn't say Hayyu, he didn't say Qayyum, he didn't say Sami', he didn't say Basir, he didn't say Latif, he didn't say Khabir, he didn't say Ali, he didn't say Muhit, he didn't say taqdeerun. He didn't say Mawla. He didn't say Nasir. He didn't say Kareem. He didn't say Raqib. He didn't say Qareeb. He didn't say Mujib. He didn't say Waqeel. He didn't say Hasib. He didn't say Hafiz. He didn't say Mu'id. He didn't say Wadood. He didn't say Majid. He didn't say Waris. He didn't say Shaheed. He didn't say Wali. He didn't say Hamid. He didn't say Haqq. He didn't say Mubin. He didn't say Qawi. He didn't say Mateen. He didn't say Ghani. He didn't say Malik. He didn't say Shadeed. He didn't say Qadir. He didn't say Muqtadir. He didn't say Qadr. He didn't say Khafid. He didn't say Shakir. He didn't say Musta'an. He didn't say Fatir. He didn't say Badi. He didn't say Ghafir. He didn't say Awwal. He didn't say Akhir. He didn't say Dahir. He didn't say Batin. He didn't say Kafir. He didn't say Ghalib. He didn't say Alim. He didn't say Rafi'. He didn't say Hafid. He didn't say Muntaqim. He didn't say Mani. He didn't say Jami. He didn't say Mubdi. He didn't say Muta'al. He didn't say Noor. He didn't say Hadi. He didn't say Ghafoor. He didn't say Shakur. He didn't say Afu. He didn't say Ra'uf. Subhanallah. If Allah said something, which name did He mention? Rabb, Rabb, Rabb is what He said. Our sustainer, our Lord, Rabbana. All the sifat, all of the qualities and attributes of Allah, we have the connection most with this sift, Rabb, because Allah is our sustainer, our sustainer, our controller. From birth until death, everything, whatever there is, it is contained in the word Rabb. Allah creates us. After creating us, He sends us to this world. How Allah brings us to this world after we are born. Every stage and phase, Allah prepares food for us. When there are no teeth in the mouth, Allah gives us food according to that capacity we have. We see this. Yes, Allah teaches a child to suck, that this is how you suck the milk. In that milk, where does that milk come from? Where does that milk come from? How it's prepared? Yes, there's no machine inside, but the blood within the woman, Allah converts into to milk. Allah, the Rabb, the sustainer, can do this, nobody else. Allah did not put some plant in there. Allah knew that He cannot bite. And however He's capable, Allah gives the vitamins. The stomach's present. There's the liver, the kidney, and everything is there. And there are the veins and the arteries and the lungs. And the food Allah Ta'ala prepares for the child to eat. And as he grows, Allah Ta'ala then prepares the food. And then two teeth come out. Then there's food according to two teeth. Then there's four teeth that comes out. There's food according to the four teeth. When all the teeth come out, then he eats the different dishes or the different food items. Subhanallah. This is Allah, the Rabb, the sustainer. Subhanallah. Now here, Allah reminds us, and those who do tawbah and ask for forgiveness, Allah says, you should appreciate that Allah is the sustainer. Allah, you are the one who created us. And then the human being says, Allah, you are everything. You gave me food. You gave me clothes. You gave me bread. You gave me water. Everything, Allah, you are the one who gave me. Rabbana zalam, qala rabbana. And this was taught to us, Adam alayhi salam, this kalima. First we say, oh our sustainer, oh our sustainer. Why? That is so shameful if we think that so many favors of Allah upon us, and the more favors there are, the more we disobey, the more we disobey Allah. But think about it. That for example, if somebody gives you some money, for example, you will not be rude to him. He's favored me. Obviously, these are people who are people with morals. Not the immoral people who are with shaitan. But the moral person, respectful person, he'll keep his gaze down. His favor is upon me. And such people, Allah Ta'ala promotes them. And the immodest people, hey, oh, there's some here, there's some, he doesn't know. But the modest person, if somebody favors him, he will always remember that favor. So here, especially, Allah Ta'ala mentions this quality so that with shame and regret, because in Tawbah, first precondition is regret, remorse. In other words, in the human being, there should be so much shame, so much regret, and so much humbleness and shame that Allah, I need to do Tawbah. Allah, with Allah, against Allah, I continue to practice like this. Where does this start from? Tawbah. As Adam alayhi salam, the Tawbah. That Allah Ta'ala showed that 300 years he had his head in his hands on his knees and crying. Not that Jannah, when Jannah's gone from me, my palaces have gone, I used to live there. No, no, no. Regret and bad feeling. My Rabb gave me a high maqam, and how did I make this error? When a person does tawbah and he goes to Allah's presence, then first he needs to have the regret, the remorse. Yes, this is the first lesson that's being taught to us for tawbah. The Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's event, the insan will come to this world, you've been given such a great asset, tawbah. If you utilize it, you will never go into hell. The doors of hell will close in front of you if you do tawbah. Before tawbah, before repenting, when you make a mistake and crimes and sins, thousands you could do until kufr, you could worship the idols. But if inside you the regret comes, the shame comes, the bad thing, oh, what have I done? What have I done? And if 300 years you can't cry at least, then at least fulfill the sunnah that when you ask Allah for forgiveness, when you do tawbah, then at least your eyes should be a little bit moist and wet, little bit of softness and a bit of shame. The Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, that subhanAllah, he wasn't crying because Jannah was taken from him, he was crying for this reason, that how did I disobey Allah? How easily did I go towards that? So servant, human being, when you do tawbah, those who do true tawbah, sincere tawbah, this is the point to remember. And these tawbah accepted, and this is what gives you the high status. That's why Allah says that Jannah is for that person, and Jannah is haram for him, if he does tawbah in this way, with the shame, regret. So first lesson of tawbah is what? Is regret, shame, remorse. Yes? And a person who feels the shame and regret, oh Allah, Allah, I've wasted my time. I've done many bad things. So first lesson of tawbah is regret. Feeling the shame for what one has done before. Tawbah. At that time, crying at the time of tawbah is so valuable. Those tears are so valuable. Hands are raised and the body is shaking. You say, my Mawla, even if it's due to a difficulty, you're asking Allah for help. You're ill, you're asking Allah for help. Or problem, or sadness, distress. But you're doing tawbah to Allah. You want to do tawbah, and then this will be the genuine tawbah. And this is the reason why tawbah is that there's no different form or way of tawbah. I'll tell you from the Quran, all other tawbahs are lies. There's such a tawbah that even a person should do tawbah on the false tawbahs. Yes, you know, istighfar, 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 istighfar. This is not tawbah. Oh, laylatul qadr, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. This is not tawbah. Close the doors, put the lights off. Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me, Allah, you're the forgiver. No, this is not tawbah. No, stand in front of the Rawda Mubarak, the holy fence, the Prophet's grave. Oh Allah, I'm here, I've arrived to the Rawda, forgive me. This is not tawbah, this is not forgiveness. How does forgiveness come? First is regret, shame, remorse. First condition number one, step number one, have regret for the errors with your Rabb. Allah, I'm ashamed, Allah, I'm ashamed, Allah, I've got regret. Step number one of tawbah. Number two, step two of tawbah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. The second thing Allah Ta'ala teaches about tawbah. Step number two. That you have to have the feeling against the sins. Dhulam. What is dhulam? Oppression. That Allah, I've sinned. Zalamna. What is dhulam? Dhulam is injustice, oppression, wrong. That Allah, I've done wrong on myself. I've done injustice to myself. Allah, I've been unjust. So unjust is dhulam. Dhulam can be anyone. To slap somebody, you've done dhulam. If you swore on somebody, it's dhulam. If you've taken somebody's wealth, it's dhulam. If at some place without permission you sit there, without permission, it's dhulam. If you've utilized something without permission, dhulam. And the punishment for dhulam is that what Allah Ta'ala has defined. And every dhulam, the punishment is that what Allah Ta'ala has defined in the hadith. The biggest punishment is for the zalim, for the oppressor, unjust person. So this is all dhulam. That, for example, if you have rights of people, you've usurped those rights, you're not fulfilling those rights, you're doing dhulam. You're an oppressor. If the husband, he doesn't fulfill the rights of the wife, then he's doing dhulam. If the wife has rights of the husband, she's not fulfilling them, she's doing dhulam. And Sharia doesn't say, and listen to this as well, listen and think about this. Our Sharia, the law isn't this, that if one man is doing dhulam to you, then you also do dhulam to him. No, Sharia style is not this. Sharia says if someone's doing dhulam to you, oppressing you, unjust to you, he's not fulfilling your rights, doing dhulam on you, then it's not your right that you also do dhulam. Rather, you will also become then a zalim, then you'll be the same. You'll be the same. So you don't take revenge with dhulam, that you have to take the actions against his actions. You don't need to become a dhalim yourself. So here the human being makes a mistake, he's doing dhulam on me, I'll do dhulam on him. No, never. That we have to follow the decision of Sharia. We have to go along with the desire of Sharia. And this is another point I want to mention, that those who don't like the decisions of Sharia, If you like them and you're practicing them, but in your heart is not happy on the decision of Sharia, your heart has a complaint, why did Sharia say this? Then remember, you have a danger of no iman. Rather, you can come out of the fold of iman. Sharia's every decision, whether it's on our side or not, whether we feel like it or not, accept it or not, openly with the heart we should accept, that person is the one who has iman. This is Allah's deen. Allah's law. So dhulm is to oppress and to usurp somebody's rights, consume somebody's wealth. That's dhulm. Swearing at someone is dhulm. This is called oppressing, being unjust. Allah says, Rabbana dhalamna. First, Allah taught us to have regret and shame that, look, all of these sins you committed against Allah's desire, Allah, your Rabb, the sustainer. In the Quran, three places, remember, that the word Rabb is used with along with the humankind. One, I said, Rabbana, I am the Rabb. Allah says, I am the true sustainer. After that, Kama Rabbayani Saghira in the Quran is stated. These are the temporary sustainers. Rabbana, Saghira, who is that? The Saghira, the minor, this is the parents, the mother and father. Imagine, Allah has used word Rabb for them, the parents. So the true Rabb, sustainer is Allah. And who are the temporary Rabb? The mother and the father. Imagine what will be their right and their status. The mother and the father, the rights on the children. Imagine. Here, the discussion is a bit lengthy. So in another day, another opportunity, I will speak about the rights of the mother and father. Mother and father's rights are so much a man can never imagine. We can understand. Can it ever be that salah you have to break and come? Sharia says, if your mother's calling you, break your salah and go and listen to what she's saying. Maybe she's about to drop, she's ill. Break your salah and go and respond to her call. Subhanallah, the mother. That's the right. If you look at your father smiling, various hajj in one time, you get thawab. Sahabi said that 3-4 times if I look repeatedly, Rasulullah said, look as many times you want. On every look, you'll get the thawab of hajj. That's the status of the mother and the father. Tell me, in their feet there's Jannah, in their smiling there's Jannah, in their khidmah, that don't even say oof in front of them. Don't even look in a bad way, because they are their Rabb who have brought you up. They sustained you. And the permanent Rabb, the true Rabb is Allah. Such safat, qualities, characteristics and affection in the hearts of the parents. Allah put that into the parents. That the parents for their children, all life long they make effort. All life long they won't eat themselves, they'll feed the children. And they'll be hungry. The father will run around outside and to please his children. Mother will serve the children at home. In other words, no personality of the world can serve the children. There's only Allah, the true Rabb, the sustainer. And the second Rabb in the world who can assist you is the mother and the father. And no one can have sadness for you compared to the mother and father. Because Allah Ta'ala has made the mother and father. Kama Rabbayani Saghir. Is there anyone like the mother and the father? That, for example, your excrement, toilet, urine, the mother stays up all night, the father stays up all night, he works all night long, he brings the money home, gives it to them, food, worry about the children, the wife, the family, and the parents, the children are old, and the father's alive still, he cries and makes dua for them, even he's thousands of miles away, his eyes, they have moist and they dry, and he does dua. Can anyone else do this? Mother and father's love, no one can compare. No one. What is this? This is the word Rabb. Allah Ta'ala used it. Rabbana, kama Rabbana Saghira. That's why the word of Rabb. One is the true Lord, Allah the sustainer. One is the temporary Rabb, kama Rabbana Saghira. And both have rights, great rights. And the human being, if he fulfills them with tawbah, if you do tawbah, this is part of tawbah. When you do tawbah, repent, you have to look at the rights of Allah, look at the rights of your mother and father. The third point, Rabb, the third person who brings up, who sustains, who looks after you, is he? One is the kamara bayani sigira, the mother and father look after your body, temporary. They look after your body physically. But inside the human being is the ruh. Mother and father cannot look after your ruh. Allah has prepared who for your ruh? Your soul. Allah has selected special friends, the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah. They have been given this job. Their hearts have become such soft and tender. Their bodies are tender. Inside them there's the light, the walis of Allah. That they have so much love for the makhluk, the creation, they cannot stand at all that in the world a man's wandering around and spiritually he has got close to hellfire. Subhanallah. This is the quality of the Wali Allah. He is also the Rabb. So much love Allah instills into the heart of the Wali Allah. He has so much love for every person in the makhluk creation. Night and day they give up their life to revive the ruh, the soul of the human beings, to save them from Jahannam. In other words, they bring up, sustain the ruh. So the true Lord, Allah, His haq, the temporary Rabb, the parents, their rights, and the spiritual Rabb who sustains and looks after your ruh, the Mashaikh Ikram. And without any precondition, they give their lives, their time, their efforts. They go fikr, they wake up in the night to do dua. No relationship. Look, okay, mother and father have relationship, blood relationship. But the spiritual father, what physical relationship has he got with the student? No relationship. But that is your physical mother and father cannot fulfill the rights that the spiritual father does. These three are the Rabb, sustainers of Allah, the temporary, the parents, and the spiritual father, the Wali Allah, the Sheikh, his rights. If you're not fulfilling these three people's rights, forget it. If you're not fulfilling Allah's rights and the parents and the Sheikh, the teacher, then you cannot acquire Allah Ta'ala's name. It's Rabbana Valamna. What is the Lamna? Injustice. Injustice, the Lamna. Here, the human being, first he has regret, shame, and he accepts his sin. He says, Allah, I accept that despite all your favors, I continue to sin and disobey you. This is the Lamna. This is the Lamna. This is the commentary of the Lamna. First, regret and shame. So here's regret and shame for the sins. He's accepting, Allah, most definitely I sinned. Ya Allah, most definitely I disobeyed you. Allah, I did too much dhulam. I did extreme injustice. You are merciful and rahmah and you're Rahim. And despite sinning and disobeying, you never stopped my food. You never stopped my chapatis. You never stopped giving me bread. You filled my dastarkhwan with food. Food kept coming. You kept on giving me cars and vehicles and food items. And you put veils on my sins and my crimes. Nobody knew, Allah, your massive mercies on me. Dhalamna, and I continued to sin. And you used to remind me and I used to reject you. And openly, the person, Allah, I openly disobeyed you. Every hour, second by second, Allahu Akbar, immodesty, my life, crimes, my life, music, singing, my life. And you were watching me, and I knew that you were watching me, but how did I dare to continue to sin? Allah, Allah, I've come to you to ask for forgiveness, dhalamna. Here, another point to listen to, another point to note, that who are we doing tawbah to? Those people who don't accept their sins. Rather, shaitan has surrounded them and made them busy in another action. Apart from accepting the sins and doing tawbah and having remorse, regret, he says, forget that. Why are you accepting you've got sins? Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is merciful, forgiving. Why do you have to accept your sins? Are you mad? Are you mad that you are embracing your sins and accepting them? Allah is Rahmatullah Alameen. Why are you wasting your time? Just die and go to Allah. Allah will forgive you. Everything will be fine. Yes, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. He is the all-forgiving, all-merciful. Nabi Al-Kareem is the greatest personality, greatest Nabi. We can imagine, like I said in the Quran itself, that if you do dhulam on yourselves, come to my Habib. He'll do dua for you for your maghfirah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is truth. 100%. But shaitan has tricked us. On top of that, carry on sinning. Shave your beards, cut your beards, music, banging, and we're attached to the jali, the road. Allah, you've called me, Allah, you've called me, Allah, forgive my sins. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi. This is shaitan's biggest trick and game plan. Biggest trick and game plan. My brothers, totally it's correct. The Quran does say who? The Prophet says, and we've been told, that go to the Rawdah Mubarak and adhere yourself to the holy fence and ask Allah for dua and maghfirah. Allah calls you, they invite you there. Of course, that's a place of tawbah. If you go there and say, Allah, I'll carry on sinning, I'll carry on cutting my beard, I'll carry on committing crimes, stealing and doing wrong. Allah, I've come to you. I've taken your assistance, O Rasulullah. This is the biggest trickery of shaitan. And if people, the whole world, if you take the percentage of the Muslim, mostly the people have been tricked by shaitan. If you try to explain to someone, oh, leave it, go away, don't tell me what to do. I'm the Ashik. Every year I go to Medina and I do Umrah and see that when there's itikaf, look at the games. Allah called me here. Nabi Sazam called me a sarkar and he invited me. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi. This is the fruit with which iman and aqeedah, how shaitan has amassed us, that top to toe we're drowned in sins. And we can do this. No, this is not a big sin. That's not a way. Hey, Medina, rahmatullah, I mean, he'll save us. Due to his sadaqah, we'll go to paradise. Whose nakal are we doing? Tell me. And then Sufis will recite their verses, the Nats, Awliya Allah, the Nasheeds, the Awliya Allah. What did they say? Let's look back in the history. Do you know when they used to accept they were sinners when they presented themselves? The awliyala, the walis of Allah, all night long after doing ibadah, subhanallah, their feet would be swollen. And after that, they'd wake up, they say to Allah, 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 my Rabb, I'm so sinful. Where do they say this from? The wali Allah says, Allah, I know I was worshipping you, but Allah, forgive me, Allah. Allah, for the sake of Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for his wasila, for his sake. And we, we have to obey Allah and obey Rasulullah sallam, and despite this, we have to carry on saying these words, Allah, it is with your blessings and mercy will be forgiven. And if we become big-headed and we have this aqeedah that we're definitely forgiven, we go to the Rawda Mubarak and present ourselves as sinners in front of the Rawda, the honorable, dignified Rawda. We go with this face, we say wrong words and statements. What kind of game and deen is this that we are doing today? Tell me. Every year we purchase tickets and go on Umrah. I've been called, I've been invited. Allahu Akbar. Tell me. Allah Ta'ala here has given us a temporary period, time. Allah Ta'ala doesn't show who's right and wrong. Allah has told us already. So this is ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Subhanallah. To accept the sin. Accept the sin. Those who don't accept their sins, they are mutakabbir. Proud people. They're stubborn on their sins. They're stuck in their ways. They don't care. They don't ask Allah for forgiveness. Oh, khair, khair, no problem. Don't tell me what to do. And they pass their life, the whole life like this. Carry on sinning. Those things, sins Allah says, don't do this, refrain. They carry on relentless sinning. So these are the mutakabbir. Here another point I'd like to mention to you in passing. There are two groups that come out from this. One is those who are stubborn and staunch and don't ask Allah for forgiveness. Who is that? Shaitan. Yes? And the other side, those people who have regret, remorse, drowned in regret, drowned in shame, and they ask Allah for forgiveness. Who are those people? Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So those people today who are mutakabbir, who don't accept the sins, they're stubborn, don't want to leave the sins, and they carry on sinning, thousands of tawbah, but there's no change in the house, outside, inside, children, family, same. This is the true friends of shaitan and mutakabbir people, these people are, the group. And they never lower their necks, and they're never humble. But those people who, after doing tawbah, they change themselves, improve themselves, forget the sins, drop the idol, subhanallah, and they improve on their previous life. The house changes, the family changes. Yes, difficulties, problems, sadness, they bear the adversity, they're prepared for the akhirah, the hereafter. These are the people, the taib, those who've done tawbah. And this is the sunnah of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. This is the true tawbah, true repentance. Two groups emanate, two groups form. One, those who are stubborn, staunch, stuck in their ways, the shaitan's group, the shaitan did the same. And those who do tawbah, they are the group of Adam alayhi salam. Rabbana zalamna, they accepted their sins. Anfusana wa illam taghfir lana. And then the third point of tawbah, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here. That person who has tawbah, step number one, he'll have regret, shame for his sins. Then he will say, Allah, I accept this is a sin. I'll accept this is a sin. And third, wa illam taghfir lana. Allah, forgive me. Allah, grant us forgiveness. Then he presents his request and plead for forgiveness. Number one, shame. Number two, accept the sins. Third, present the request for forgiveness. After saying both things, after saying, Rabbana, Zalamna, Anfusana, they say, Allah, wa illam taghfirlana, I'm not capable, Allah, I'm begging to you, Allah, I've come to beg to you, my Mawla, save me from the fire of Jahannam, forgive me, my Mawla, forgive me. What a great assistance, the third step. And this is the consequence, the conclusion after the first two. Yes, it's the result for which the person did tawbah, repented, subhanAllah. So now he comes towards forgiveness, the conclusion of tawbah. What's forgiveness? What are the principles of forgiveness? When you ask somebody for forgiveness, when you make a mistake, you ask someone for forgiveness, you go to that person, then you have two feelings, emotions within you when you ask someone for forgiveness. For example, I've sworn at somebody. Then when I ask him for forgiveness, will I say, oh, I made a big mistake and feel bad? Feel bad, you accept that it's a sin. And the third thing is asking for forgiveness. Say, Yar, I made a mistake, Yar, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I leave this wrong after today. I promise I won't do it again. This is what Allah has mentioned in the Quran. وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Allah grant us forgiveness. When you go to ask Allah for forgiveness, two promises you make, two emotions. What? Allah, The sins I carried on doing, the dhulam, I will stop it now and I will not do it again. This is the meaning of wa illam taghfir lana. When you're asking Allah for forgiveness, when a person asks for forgiveness, these two emotions should be within his heart. Two feelings, two emotions. I won't do this again. True promise, I won't do this again. Yes, so number one, shame. Number two, accept the sins. I've made a big sins. Allah, I've done dhulam. Third point, Mamula wa illam taghfir lana. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. And two preconditions for forgiveness. Beg. Allah, I promise. I accept the sins. I promise that I feel bad for doing this and I'll leave the sins and I won't do them again. Yes. Wa tarhamna la nakunana min al khasirin. And the fourth point, the fourth step of tawbah, the rahmah appeal comes, the final appeal. Allah, Allah, you know, like you appeal in the court when there's no way out, the verdict's been given, you say, let's go to the high court, appeal. Then he appeals to the higher court. So here we are appealing now. Step number four of tawbah. Wa tarhamna la nakunana. And how does he appeal? He says, Allah bestow. The first shame came, regret, step number one. Two, accepting the sins. Three, begging for forgiveness. But after that, despite all of that, Raham Allah, Raham. Allah, all this will happen due to Rahmah. Nothing. This is Ghafoorul Raheem. This is Allah being Ghafoorul Raheem. This is when we have the Aqeedah as Ghafoorul Raheem. This is where we ask Allah for His Rahmah. First two steps, one, two, three, then say Allah is Ghafoorul Raheem. Step number four. Hey, then we realize Allah's Rahmah. We haven't asked for Allah's Rahmah before that with the step three. Carry on saying, say Allah is Ghafoorul Raheem, Ghafoorul Raheem, Ghafoorul Raheem. SubhanAllah. What a big trick of shaitan, deception of shaitan. What a trap, a ditch he has dug for us and we fall into it. So what is the way to get to Allah's Rahmah? This is the appeal. Fourth step. Step one, two, three has to be done first to get to the appeal. Allah, I know, Allah, you will give me this. Well, I appeal to you. Otherwise, if you don't grant me your mercy, I cannot succeed. SubhanAllah. And then permanent Rahmah. And on top of this, say, Allah, لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. After وَتَرْحَمْنَا, which is number four, we say, لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allahu Akbar. Allah, Allah, if you don't do this with me, if you don't grant me with your mercy, then with regards to myself, I'm in a bad way. A beautiful point is coming to my mind, my friends, that to the extreme heights of, doesn't matter how sinful you are, dark criminal, but a mu'min has hope in Allah. Ultimately, he has a lot of hope in Allah. Look at the hope Allah is giving. Allah says, if you don't do this, The mu'min says, Allah, if you don't forgive me, I'm in a bad way. He is reviving, rekindling Allah's love. I'll give you an example here. For example, if you have a belief in your mother, let's say your mother, you have hope in your mother. You say, mother, look, if you don't do this for me, mom, if you don't give me this much money, then watch what I'll do. Watch what happens to me. See what happens. Yeah? He threatens. But I'll die hungry if you don't give me this much money. So what's this? This is the child kindling the fire of passion within the mother. The love. If you don't do this, mother, watch. Then I'll die. I'll die. Mother says, no, don't die. Okay, here, take the money. Okay, go, get what you want. And mother says, and then suddenly, oh, okay, my son. Mother, if you don't give me this money, you know, then watch. That's it, I'm finished. I'm gone. No, my son, hey, no, don't do that. Hey, take some money, my son. Hey, what does the insan say? Allah, wa illam taghfirin. Allah, if you don't forgive me, Allah. If you don't forgive me, minana, I'm going to burn in hell. Allah, then Allah's rahmah immediately comes into being. Subhan. Allah, innahu huwa tawwabur rahim. Allahu akbar. Just like mother says, no, my son. Hey, take the money. Don't do that. So when he says, Allah, wa tarhamna, lanakunanna min al-khasin. Allah, I'm going to lose that. Watch Allah, this is destruction for me if you don't forgive me. Allah immediately says, no, my servant. Allah's love multiplies, comes into full force. Allah says, innahu wa tawwabur rahim. No, my servant, don't worry, my servant. I will most definitely accept your tawbah. I will accept your tawbah. And don't just accept your tawbah. Rather, I'm Rahim. All your sins are transformed into good deeds. Subhanallah. This is, my brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a valuable gift to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Such a great love Allah Ta'ala created with this. Is there anyone who can take us into Jahannam? How can shaitan dare? How can shar and the attractions of the world dare? How can the nafs dare to take us towards sin? Doesn't matter how much it makes us a sinner. But my friends, my brothers, tawbah, don't leave the assistance of tawbah. Doesn't matter how sinful we are. Even 100 times you have to do tawbah in the day. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, you can do tawbah hundreds of times in a day. But do tawbah like this. Every tawbah should be on these steps. Number one, shame, regret, accept the sins. and ask an appeal for forgiveness. And fourth, be hopeful for Allah Ta'ala's raham, mercy. And then how can a person get into Jannah after the bus? So sad. Shaitan has shut this door on our faces that we are afraid of doing tawbah. If I do tawbah, repent, then we'll be left behind in the world. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do amal on these points. Wa akhru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.